Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Time right now is 8:15, and now my engineer indicates to me that we do have Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sab Damat Barakatum on the line, who will be answering your questions. If you want to send in your questions, the SMS and WhatsApp number for this evening is 076-786-2984. That is 076-786-2984. And we firstly welcome Mufti Zubair Bayat Sab Damat Barakatum, the Amir of Darul Ihsan Center, as well as the Imam of Masjid al-Taqwa in Seekow Lake. Firstly, Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you this evening, Mufti Sahab?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yourself, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah, I'm also very well. Is Mufti Sahab in Gauteng or speaking to us from KZN? Because I see Mufti Sahab has a program tomorrow in Bakloo.
No, I'm here at home, more than I'm KZN at the moment.
Yeah. Okay, so Mufti Sahab will be traveling tomorrow.
Gee, inshallah ta'ala.
MashaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except I see Darul Ihsan also many programs with regards to Qurbani in various towns taking place in KZN region as well.
Gee, alhamdulillah, those programs actually had already been conducted last week, Mawlana.
Okay, mashallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us.
MashaAllah, Allah accept it. Jazakallahu khairan for your time, Mufti Sahab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept it from you.
Ameen, ya Rabbul Alameen.
Mufti Sahab, we have some questions which were left over from our last week's program. We'll be just taking those questions before we will be taking new questions as well. Qurbani related, non-Qurbani related, any Islamic queries our listeners have, they can SMS or WhatsApp on 076-786-2984. Mufti Sahab, the first question says that I heard an alim saying that the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are superior and better than the month of Ramadan. Is this correct? Because all our lives we learn that the days of Ramadan are the best days. What's Mufti Sahab's opinion?
Actually, there is a difference of opinion among the scholars regarding whether the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are better or the last 10 days of Ramadan are better. One great scholar, Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddi Dehlawi Rahmatullah Ali, he has stated that if you take it from the point of view of days, then the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are more virtuous. Because it has in it the day of Arafah. And if you take the night, then the last 10 nights of Ramadan are more significant because it has in it the Laylatul Qadr. So we can say that if you look at it from the point of view of days, then the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and the night, then the last 10 nights of Ramadan.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Sahab, next question says that we are two sisters with an aged mother. My sister is rude and constantly tells my mother what to do. My mother cries and complains to me. Is this regarded as ghibat, Mufti Sahab? I feel my mother only has me to talk to about this.
No, I don't think it could be called ghibah, because the mother is basically just, you know, maybe seeking advice from this daughter of hers that how do I deal with this, how do I cope with this, and, you know, maybe she's just like trying to seek some kind of solution or some kind of consolation that what's to be done in this situation. So from that point of view, I don't think we could call it ghiba. And of course, it is extremely wrong for the sister to behave like this towards the mother. You know, a mother is a mother. A mother has got great rights. And for the mother to be treated like this by her own daughter, that the daughter talks rudely to her and orders her around as if she's a child or something, somebody subordinate to her, this is totally in contradiction with the rights of parents and the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given parents in Islam. So I think it's very important that people who have elderly parents, they should always have a great deal of respect for them, talk to them nicely, and not show them any form of disrespect and thereby destroy the hereafter.
JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alive in his grave in Madinatul Munawwara, and does he know what is happening around him? Please explain this, or what's the belief? What's the belief of all Muslims with regards to this aqidah, Mufti Sahab?
Yes, this aqidah is called the aqidah of Hayatul Nabi. The aqidah of Hayatul Nabi is an established aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. To be regarded from the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, one of the important aqidah and beliefs that every Muslim has to hold is that Anbiya alayhimu salam, including Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are alive in their graves. And there are authentic ahadith to prove this, that Anbiya alayhimu salam are alive in their graves. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in his graves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, leave alone Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding shuhada. The shuhada are the martyrs. Their degree of rank is lesser than the Anbiya alayhimu salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the shuhada that they are alive. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٍ وَلَا تِلَّا تَشْعُرُونَ. They have a life, but that life, you people do not know about that life. So the shuhada are very much alive. So if the shuhada, whose level is lower than the Anbiya, they have a life in the hereafter and they are alive there, then what to say of the Anbiya alayhimu salam? So therefore, it is our firm belief and aqidah that Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam are alive in their graves. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is alive in his grave, as is mentioned in many narrations also to that effect. Al-Anbiya wa ahya'un fi quburihim yurzaqoon, and so on. There are certain ahadith also to the effect that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu was salam, they are alive in their graves and they are sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we have to believe in. There are certain misguided people who believe that Anbiya alayhimu salam, once they leave this world, they die and they do not have any form of life. And this is completely in contradiction to the aqidah of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So it has been mentioned in various narrations regarding even the other Anbiya alayhimu salam, that Musa alayhi salatu was salam was seen by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing salah in his grave and so on. These are all signs of the life of Anbiya alayhimu salam after death. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would definitely have the most superior form of life because he was the imam of all the Anbiya alayhimu salam. And hence he is aware of the people that visit his grave and offer salam at his grave, etc. These are things that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is fully aware of. And it is also part of our aqidah and belief that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows the people who come to meet him and greet him and recognizes them and he replies to them.
JazakAllah for that explanation, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that is it sunnah to give dates after the nikah in the masjid itself?
It has been mentioned in narrations of hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba used to, in happiness, distribute dates in the masjid after the nikah. And there are two ways of distributing the dates. One is to give it like how we normally give, in a platter. Everybody takes from the plate and they eat from there, mashallah. And then the other method is where the dates are taken and they are sort of strewn. And then whoever picks up, they pick it up and then they eat and they give to others also. So the both methods have been mentioned in the Hadith Sharif of the distribution of dates at the time of nikah. I would say that nowadays, the committee of the masjid might complain by throwing the dates it might fall on the carpet, on the walls, it might, we should rather stick to the method of giving it out on a platter or from a box or a container.
Jazakallah for that explanation, Mukhti Sahab. Next question says, it's a lengthy question, but the questioner wants to know, our son will be 26 years old next month. For the last 10 years, he has been staying home. He refuses to work or leave the house. Thus, he has not been to the masjid for the last 10 years. No Jummah, no Salah, not even at home. He's also very rude and controlling, demanding fresh food, snacks, etc. He plays video games all day and literally into the night. My husband and I are very regular with our Salah, and we are quite passionate about our deen. My husband invites him to come to the masjid every time he goes for salah. He makes all kinds of excuses. I am 58 years old, Mufti Sahab, still working and contributing to a mortgage, and would like to stop working if he can fulfill in my finding a job. We have had it with him and would like to kick him out of the house. He's healthy with a sane mind and, like I said, very rude. Please advise, Mufti Sahab.
Yes, indeed, this is a very, very regrettable situation. It is a very sad situation. And again, it is an instance of the son, in this case here, not showing respect to the parents, not obeying them, not supporting them, not helping them, and not only being disobedient to his parents, but even worse, being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine not reading Salah and not even reading Jummah. And that too for the last 10 years. Now, this is a very, very regrettable condition, and really this youngster needs some very intense spiritual treatment. Perhaps he needs to be taken to some very pious person to make special dua for him, and he needs to spend some time in the company of some pious people so that his whole life can turn around. We do not say that there's no hope for such people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doors of mercy are open, the doors of tawbah are open. A person can repent and come back onto the sirat al-mustaqim. But if a person continues in this manner, missing out salah after salah and jummah after jummah, and have not been to the masjid for last 10 years, and not even reading salah at home, then this is a very dangerous spiritual condition. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And over and above that, to be disrespectful to parents and so on, I say the best thing is that he should be, taken to some pious people and ask them to make dua for him, or some ta'aleem should be commenced in the home, and hopefully he will listen to some of those words and it will have an impact on his heart and it will change his condition. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everyone guidance, hidayat and understanding.
Ameen. Jazakallahu khair for that, Mufti Sahab. Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly Fiqh Q&A program on Radio Islam International. Time right now is 28 minutes past 8 o'clock. If you have any queries, any Islamic related questions, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. Mufti Sahab, the next question says, I would like to know, with what intention should we fast on the day of Arafat?
As far as the fast of Arafat is concerned, for those people who are not performing Hajj, it will be mustahab to fast on this day of Arafah. Hazrat Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala anhu's narration, Nabi Karib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Siyamu yawmi Arafah ahtasibu ala Allah ta'ala an yukaffira sanata allati qablahu wa sanata allati ba'dahu, aw kama qala alayhi salam. The fast of the day of Ashura is such that it will cause the sins of the present year as well as the past year as well as the coming year, the sins will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of the fast of Arafah. So we see what a great reward there is for the fast of Arafah, and besides that, the fast of the first 10 days of Zulhijjah are equivalent to 1 year of fasting in reward. So there are very great rewards to fast on all of the 9 days at least. We don't fast on the day of Eid al-Adha. We fast the 9 days, 1 year reward for each day's fast. And then on top of that, the day of Arafah, besides that, you get the reward that 1 year before and 1 year after sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by virtue of the fast of Arafah.
to you. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, I wanted to find out if a person is buying from a supplier homeware to sell from home. Then the supplier gives a reselling price and a person sells cheaper than the supplier's retail. Is that okay, Mufti Saab? Can the supplier tell you how much you must sell it for and you mustn't cut the supplier's retail? Please advise, what should one do in such a case?
No, there's no obligation to follow that particular price. You can sell it, you buy it, and you sell it at whatever price you want to sell it. Mm. There's no obligation to sell it at that particular price that the supplier has stipulated.
Mm.
That's not a requirement.
Jazakallah for that. Next question says, can Mufti Saab state the hadith that makes keeping of a beard necessary for a man? Is it sunnah or is it wajib or even fard? Lots of men argue about it and say this is not fard.
No, it is not fard in the sense like the fard salah, but it is wajib, which means that it is very close to fard.
Yeah.
And the narration is found in the books of the ahadith. Lots of books have been written on the subject matter itself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the narration of Bukhari that Khaliful Mushrikeen, Uhful Luha, Wahful Shawarib, that let the beard grow and clip the mustaches. So this is the statement of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been mentioned in the Bukhari itself, and there are many other hadiths to that effect. There lots of books have been written on the subject matter. One can go online and you'll see what has been stated on the subject matter.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, is it compulsory not to cut your hair and nails when we're making qurbani for 10 days?
No, we don't say it is compulsory.
Mm.
It's not compulsory to cut hair and nails, or not to cut the hair and nails, sorry, but it is recommended, recommended highly. So a person should try to the best of his ability to practice on this here. Mm. It's a matter of only of 10 days. Normally people cut their hair and so on once a week or their nails once a week. So it's just a matter of an additional 3 days, but in this we will be complying with a narration of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a guideline of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned that when the 10 days of Zulhijjah commence and any one of you intends to do qurbani, then he should not remove hair and trim his nails. So this is a teaching of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that one should try to uphold as best as possible. But this does not mean that if the nails are gone very long and a person forgot to cut it, so you can't cut it. No, if it's necessary to cut it, it will be allowed. But it's preferable not to cut the hair and the nails in these days of Zulhijjah.
Jazakallah for that clarification, Mufti Saab. Next question, also qurbani related. It says, would my qurbani be accepted if I let someone do it on my behalf, but I'm present at the time of qurbani? Please advise.
Yes, absolutely. If you're unable to do the slaughter properly, then you should not attempt to slaughter the animal, but rather you should delegate somebody who can do it properly, and you can stand there and be present and read the du'as and so on, and watch this act of sacrifice, and inshallah your qurbani will be valid, you will get the reward as well.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Another qurbani related question. It says, my husband will be making a qurbani. Will it still be compulsory for me to make another qurbani in our house?
You see, according to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, the Hanafis, it is wajib upon each individual, if you own wealth equivalent to nisab during the days of qurbani, that each individual in the family should make their own independent qurbani. So if your husband is making qurbani because he's the owner of nisab, that's fine. But if you own nisab, then the qurbani will be compulsory upon you as well. So you should make your own qurbani, or you could take a share in a big animal, one of 7 shares, or you could do a small animal. But if you own nisab, it will be and it's like that. It will be compulsory upon all the children in the house as well.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that if we want to fast for the day of Arafat, which day should we fast? The same as Saudi, because last year I heard a big argument that we should fast when Saudis fast and not when it's the day in Arafat in South Africa.
Yeah, this kind of big arguments don't help, Molana. There's no benefit in having big arguments. You know what? See, every country has got its own moon sighting, and according to the moon sighting of that particular country, you must act accordingly. So if the moon sighting in Saudi made, you know, they determined that it is Arafah on a certain day, for example, this year it will be on Monday there. Whereas in South Africa, it's going to be on Tuesday. So for us, Arafah is on Tuesday. For the Hujjaj, it will be on Monday. For us, it will be on
Tuesday.
And that is how we should practice. Like we find, you know, many countries, Ramadan starts on one day, another country starts on another day. Eid is on one day, Eid al-Fitr is on one day. In another country it's on another day. Eid al-Adha could be on one day in one country, another day on in another country. Like that, the day of Arafah can also be different from country to country.
Gee, Jazakallah for that explanation, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, I want to know, if a person dies in a bathroom, is that an indication of a bad end?
We won't say that it is necessarily an indication of a bad end. Because, you know, it could happen that by chance a person fell, slipped, and he passed away there. It's not a sign of a bad end. That is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not pass judgment on anyone just because they passed away in a bathroom, that there was something that they were doing wrong or something like that. That is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, please clarify, I know of a woman who does not like the name that her husband chose for the baby girl, and she calls her by a different name. What's the Islamic ruling on this now, Mufti Sahab?
No, the name should be chosen mutually by both parties. And both parents should sort of agree on a suitable name for the child. Once the name has been chosen, then parents should call the child by that name. It's not right that the husband is calling the child by one name and the mother is calling, that the wife is calling the child with another name. The poor child will be like a split person now. Doesn't know, she wouldn't know who she is now. You know, so it's best that they both agree on this here with mutual understanding and agreement. They go for a name and both should try and call the child by the same name.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question, it says, is it valid for a Muslim to offer an udhiyah on behalf of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? What's Mufti Sahab's opinion in this matter?
Yes, definitely, why not? In fact, what you call, it is actually mustahab, it's preferred, and it will be a means of great reward. Sahaba ikram used to do qurbani on behalf of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we should make intention for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also for our parents, for our teachers, for our elders, for our pious elders, etc. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a sacrifice on behalf of his ummah. And he said, oh Allah, this is on behalf of every one of my ummah who believed in me and testified to my prophethood. So we were all included in that intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the best of rewards, you know, on behalf of his ummah, for all what he had done for his ummah. Subhanallah. What amazing, you know, feeling he had for his beloved ummah. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forget them even at the time of the udhiyah and the sacrifice.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question, also Qurbani related. Is it permissible for a fewer than 7 people to share in a Qurbani of a cow?
Yes, it is permissible. Less than 7 people can also share in a cow. For example, one person can take 2 shares, 3 shares, another person can take 1 or 2 shares. So it doesn't mean that there has to be seven people taking one share each. Two or three people can take all seven shares in a big animal. That's quite in order. The only condition is that all of them must do it with an intention of something that has got to do with reward and thawab. Like Qurbani, or it could be Aqiqah, or with that kind of intention, it will be in order.
Wonderful. Jazakallah for that. Next question says, is it sunnah to adorn oneself for Eid by wearing one's best clothes that does not come under the heading of imitating the non-Muslims?
Yes, it is actually sunnah to wear one's best clothes on the day of Eid. You know, the day of Eid is a day of rejoicing. It's a day of happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see us rejoice and be happy. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us this opportunity to express our happiness. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The ayat of the Quran states that you should show the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are demonstrated by putting on one's best clothing, etc., on the day of Eid, and showing the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon one.
Jazakallah for that. Next question says, what are the rulings concerning uncastrated animals? Is it true that they are better than the others for the udhiyah? And also, how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deal with these type of animals?
Well, it is permissible to slaughter both castrated and not castrated animals. It is allowed, it is permissible, there is no problem. But the sheep that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slaughtered, it is mentioned that those animals had been castrated. So one may cut either castrated or not castrated. It doesn't have any bearing on the validity of the qurbani.
Wonderful. Jazakallah for that. Next question says, how can a Muslim intend his entire life to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Yes, because when we say, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mati lillahi rabbil alameen, that everything is for Allah rabbil alameen, then it should be like this, that, you know, before he does anything, he should make an intention that this is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, before eating, he should say, I'm eating to gain strength for ibadah. I'm sleeping to gain strength for ibadah. I'm working to gain halal risk. I'm doing whatever else I'm doing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that manner, a person will be doing everything, his whole life will be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, it has to be in accordance with the teachings of the Sharia to be regarded as in keeping with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he's doing everything with good intention but is against the Sharia, then we will say that he's not doing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly Fiqh Q&A program on Radio Islam International. Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab Damat Barakat, to whom is answering your questions. If you have any queries, any Islamic related questions, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. Mufti Sahab, the next question says that, is it permissible to say, by Allah, I shall certainly discipline you, O nafs?
Yes, a person can threaten his own nafs, you know, to make his nafs sort of, make his nafs subservient and make his nafs subjugated. He can say things like this, that by Allah I will discipline you, and by Allah I will try to put you in place and so on, so that you do not continue in your evil ways, as a kind of a reproach or reprimand to the nafs. Such type of statements will be considered in order.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Sahab, next question, Qurbani related question. It says, what's the ruling on someone who cannot bear to see the slaughter of the Idul Udhiyah or Idul Adha because it will upset him, even though he affirms that it is not one of the greatest acts of worship by means of which he may draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even though he affirms that it is one of the greatest acts of worship by means of which he may draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Well, if a person accepts that this is a compulsory thing, it is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that it is a great act of ibadah, but he does not have the, let's say, the psychological or mental strength to see the slaughter of the animal, then it's not necessary or compulsory for him to be present at that point in time.
Mm.
As long as he believes in the compulsion of it, and somebody does the qurbani on his behalf, it will be considered as valid and it will be done. Because a person can't change his nature. If it's by nature such that he's unable to witness an animal being slaughtered, then he is excused from being present at that point in time.
Gee, Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says that what are some fun and beneficial activities that we can do with our children instead of them sitting at the computer?
Very, very, very big question that is, Maulana. Well, you see, the thing is, the children nowadays unfortunately become what they call couch potatoes, you know?
Mm.
And they sort of don't enjoy anything other than this virtual world.
Sure.
Which is nothing, you know, it's not reality. It's nowhere near reality. They should be encouraged to do outdoor activities. They should be, you know, like what the people used to do in the past when there were none of these tablets and all of these things. So parents should try and organize activities for them. Organizations, groups, etc. should try and help them go out into the outdoors, do some gardening, do some chores, go and do some social work, do some welfare work, you know, go for hiking, things like that, where there is some kind of physical activity involved. They should not just let them sit behind the computer and just type and play with the keyboard and play computer games and so on, because that will be detrimental to them in many ways, physically and otherwise as well.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says that is it okay for girls to be given kunyas such as Umme Hani and Umme Salama before they even get married, because Umme means mother of someone?
You see, this kind of kunya doesn't necessarily mean that that person has to be the mother of so and so or the father of so and so. Like Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was not the father of the kitten in that sense, physically. Just because he had that kind of attachment to the kitten, so he was called Abu Huraira.
Mm.
Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and so on, these were like kind of kunyas. These are honorary names given to two people. Doesn't necessarily mean they have to be the father of so-and-so or the mother of so-and-so. Or Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter's name was Umm Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha. But she should not have a child by the name of Kulthum, as far as my knowledge goes. So like that, there are names like Umme Hani, Umme Salma, etc. These type of kunyas can be given to girls before they get married too. It will be allowed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to address sometimes small children with kunya. For example, Abu Umair, Ma fa'ala Nughair. So we see that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually gave kunyas even to young children. So it would not be a problem to keep a kunya.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says that please tell me if there are poor people in my area who need money. Can I give them the price of the sacrifice in charity, or should I still be offering my qurbani as well?
No, if there are poor people in your area who need money, that's a separate chapter. Qurbani is a separate matter. Qurbani is the order of Allah. It has to be carried out. Even if there are no poor people in the area you're staying in, you still have to do qurbani. Yes, then you may take the meat, freeze it, can it, whatever, and then distribute it to the poor. Maybe some other part of the world or some other part of the country, you can send the meat to them there. But the qurbani has to be carried out irrespective of whether they are poor people or not poor people in the area. That's a separate act of ibadah. And supporting the poor people for their needs and things, that is a separate matter. That carries on throughout the year. Qurbani is only for 3 days of the year.
Gee, Jazakallah for that clarification. Mufti Saab, just to remind our listeners, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. That is 076-786-2984. Next question says, Mufti Saab, is turban-style scarf allowed for women?
Well, you know, if they are wearing it like in that particular fashion and they've covered their hair properly and none of it is exposed, etc., then there is no prohibition.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Saab, next question says that I made nikah after 20 years, was a widow, husband has sons and grandsons. So do I need to keep my full niqab and parda in front of them? I'm 58 years of age.
No, it won't be necessary to make niqab in front of them and so on, because they are the family of your husband. They become mahram to you by virtue of your husband actually is now your marriage with all those members of the family actually prohibited once you marry him. So therefore there's no need for you to make parda from those male relatives from your husband's side, like his sons and grandsons and so on.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Saab, next question says, what's the ruling concerning when you married to someone who's HIV positive, ruling in sleeping with that person?
No, well, in that instance, you are not obliged to share the bed with somebody because it could be very, very dangerous to your own well-being. So this is something that you need to go and sit with some ulama and scholars face-to-face, have some counseling and see what is the way as far as this situation is concerned.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question, with regards to the fast of the day of Arafat, the questioner says, I would like to find out, I have about 100 qaza due to childbirth and from missing fasts at the beginning stages of my illness. I can fast now, alhamdulillah, I have gained my strength. If I fast on the day of Arafat, then what intention should I be making, Mufti Saab?
Well, no, in this case here, you must make intention of your qadha fast. That's your first obligation. And then everything else will come after that. So your obligation is to keep your qadha fast. And then when you have completed your qadha fast, then at a later stage in life, you can keep all the nafil fast as well. But you have to keep the qadha fast.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Saab, early on, Mufti Saab answered a question regarding slaughtering on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the questioner wants to know that can I also include marhums in that one share of qurbani? And if I do that, what intention should I be making?
It will be allowed. It will be allowed. And one can make the intention of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well as other deceased members of the family, although it is preferred to do a separate qurbani for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as far as possible. But if you can't afford it, then you can include others also in that intention.
Jazakallah, Mufti Saab, we'll take one more question before we will go for our ad break as well as news bulletin with Mulana Bam. So the questioner says, how many days can one fast during these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah?
One can fast for 9 days, from the 1st to the 9th. These are the days of fasting. The 10th day one is not allowed to fast because that is the day of Eid al-Adha. And then of course a person is not allowed to fast the additional 3 days after that, the 11th, 12th and 13th, because these are known as Ayyam al-Tashriq, and one should not fast on such days.
Jazakallah for that clarification, Mufti Saab, and we appreciate your time. Inshallah, after the news bulletin, we'll resume at the second hour.
Inshallah ta'ala.
That was Mufti Zubair Fayyad Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, the Amir of Darul Ihsan Center in KZN and the Imam of Masjid al-Taqwa in Sikau Lake, answering your questions. We're still taking your questions on 076-786-2984. That's the SMS as well as WhatsApp number. You can either SMS me or WhatsApp me on 076-786-2984. Alternatively, you can email me, and my email address is suhaib@radioislam.co.za. So we go for ad break as well as the news bulletin with Mawlana Muhammad Bam, and after the news bulletin we'll continue with the second and the final hour. Time right now is 9:05. We go for our air break and the news bulletin. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Time right now is 9:09. This is the second and the final hour of our weekly Fiqh Q&A program. We are taking your questions on 076-786-2984. That is 076-786-2984. Alternatively, you can email me. The email address is suhaib@radioislam.co.za. Mufti Zubair Fayyad Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, will be answering your questions this evening. So if you have any queries, you can forward it to us. And we welcome Mufti Sahab after the news bulletin. Once again, Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Jazakallahu khairan for your precious time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from Mufti Sahab, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take more of deen, effort of deen from Mufti Sahab, and the work and khidmat of deen, inshaAllah.
Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen, ameen.
See, Mufti Sahab, there are questions that are coming in on our WhatsApp as well as on our SMS line. The questioner says, Ishraq Namaz, can it be read as charged Namaz if someone had ended her life? Can one send a Sadaqah Jariyah for her so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Jannatul Firdaus? And if not, what can we do to save her from the azab of the Qabr as well as the azab of Akhirat?
One can definitely make dua maghfirat and also send sawab on behalf of somebody who ended their life. In other words, they committed suicide. Although it is deemed a very major sin in Islam, may Allah protect us all from, perpetrating such a dreadful act. But, this is something that is considered a sinful act, and one must repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such an action on behalf of the deceased person. One should seek forgiveness on behalf of the deceased person. One should make dua maghfirat and also isal sawab for the deceased person. Even in such an instance, janaza salah is also performed for such a person. So yes, there is no harm in making dua and sending sawab for such people.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, I had a store account and now the store has closed down, but I still owe some money on the account. I tried to contact them, but with no success. What do I do in the situation?
Well, if there's no way of determining who the owner of the stores are anymore, and you try very hard to try and get hold of them, maybe there's an account or something. If you can find their account details, then deposit it in their account. Whatever is possible. If that doesn't work, then you should take the money and give it away as sadaqah to some poor person on behalf of those storekeepers.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that can one use the money of an investment after taking off the interest to purchase one's false teeth, seeing that other money is not enough?
So you took, there was an investment, and a person takes the halal portion of the investment.
After
no
taking off the interest.
Yes, of course, it's allowed. There's no problem with that at all.
Jazakallah for that clarification, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, doctors say it is as almost impossible for a lady to get pregnant naturally after 40. What does Islam say about this? Is it possible for a 42-year-old woman to get pregnant in Islam, Mufti Sahab?
I don't think that it's impossible. It is quite possible until she does not reach the age of menopause totally, till then, she could possibly conceive. There have been instances, as far as I heard, of women conceiving quite late in life too.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that if one comes late for Salah with Jamaat and finds the Imam is in Ruku or he finds the Imam is in Sajda, how does one join that Salah then?
You must join the Imam in whichever posture he finds the Imam in, and if he has missed a rakat, then he must stand up and complete the rakat after the Imam makes Salam.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, I would like to ask for nafl qurbani. Can more than one intention be made? Example, one nafl sheep for all the marhums as well as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, early on Mufti Sahab answered, but the person wants to know multiple intentions in one sheep.
Yes, one can make multiple intentions in one sheep. The fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam included the whole ummah in one sheep is an indication of the fact that one can actually include multiple people in one sheep for the purpose of Isal al-Sawab.
Wonderful. Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab. Just to remind our listeners.
And obviously, it's quite evident that that has got to do with Nafil Qurbani and not Wajib Qurbani. In the Wajib Qurbani, you can't make any intention for anyone.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly Fiqh Q&A program on Radio Islam International, and Mufti Zubair Fayyad Sahab Damat Barakatuh is answering your questions. So if you have any queries, any Islamic related question, or if you want Mufti Sahab's advice or nasiha, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 0767862984. Next question, Mufti Sahab, interesting question. Is there any fazilat or virtue or reward for an unmarried man to marry a widow?
To marry a widow with the intention of giving her support and to bring happiness and cheer to her, and so she can also have somebody to take care of her, and with that intention, if he marries her, then there's no problem. In fact, it is a rewarding thing, and that was what Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself did. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, who was a widow. And she had been widowed twice. The Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her. So actually it is a meritorious thing to do so with the correct intention.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, what's the ruling on family planning and temporarily using contraceptives to space children in order to give them a proper upbringing for other reasons? Will this be permissible in Islam?
The ulama have permitted it with that intention.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that when do we start reading Tashriq and when do we end it, Mufti Sahab?
We will start on the morning of the 9th of Zulhijjah, that is the day of Arafah at Fajr time, and we will read for 23 Salahs, so the 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, and on the 13th at Asr time we will stop, inshallah ta'ala. So that's 23 namazes altogether, 4 days, and the 5th day, just the 3
salahs. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, Honorable Mufti Sahab, what has greater merit, making qurbani on behalf of a marhum or a poor person that cannot afford to make qurbani? So what would be better in this case, Mufti Sahab?
No, if a person was poor, they need not make qurbani. Qurbani is not compulsory upon them. And if you make on behalf of a deceased person, then the reward of that goes to the deceased person.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says, if a woman is impressed with a man's character and religious commitments, can she offer herself to him for nikah?
Yes, it is allowed. This has happened in the case of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well.
Jazakallah for that. Next question says, which types of discharge breaks one's wudu?
Any discharge will break the wudu.
Jazakallah for that. Next question says, why can't women go to the Qabristan?
Because Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discouraged them from going to the Qabristan. And many a times they become quite emotional, etc. in the Qabristan. So it is for this reason that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not encourage them to go to the Qabristan.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. Next question says that will it be permissible to hold the vessel in the left hand, supporting it with the right hand when one drinks in order to fulfill the sunnah?
The best is to hold it in the right hand But if it was not possible, then one can hold it, support it with the right hand. That will be in order.
Wonderful. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, can we eat crayfish and calamaris and crabs?
According to the Hanafis, no, we should not be having that.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, please advise as to which madhab did Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi follow?
Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, there are two views. One view was that he did not follow any madhab, and he was a mujtahid in his own right. That is one view. And the other view is that he followed the views of Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi. Allah knows best.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, what are the husband's obligations towards his children and his ex-wife who has custody of them?
Well, he has to make sure that he provides for them, you know, financially, and additionally, he can also, you know, obviously he must try and spend time with them as well, and to ensure that they have a proper upbringing and that, you know, they are properly nurtured and so on. All these are included in his duties and obligations towards the children.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, on which day must we in South Africa fast on the day of Arafat? Is it Monday or Tuesday?
For us, our Arafah will be on Tuesday, so we will fast on Tuesday for the day of Arafah, but there's no harm in in fasting on Monday as well.
Gee, wonderful. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, I would like to ask if there's less virtue or reward in doing qurbani on the second day after the day of Eid, just to avoid the queues?
No, one could do it on the second day or even the third day.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next SMS question says, please advise who is liable to make qurbani?
Any person who has nisab amount on the day of Eid al-Adha, in the morning of Eid al-Adha, qurbani, over and above the basic needs, he has the amount of equivalent to nisab, then qurbani becomes compulsory upon him.
Jazakallah for that. Just to remind our listeners, you are listening to our weekly Fiqh Q&A program on Radio Islam International. Mufti Zubair Bayat Saab Damat Barakatuhum from Durban is answering your questions. If you want any queries to be answered, if you want clarity on any mas'ala, the SMS and WhatsApp number is 076-786-2984. Mufti Saab, next question says, please comment on those people who has just about 3,000 to 4,000 rand cash in their name and can't really afford a sheep. If they don't spend their last money, does this mean that they have weak iman and they fall in the categories of sinning?
If they have got the amount that they can purchase a sheep, then they must go ahead and do the qurbani. Otherwise, they will be regarded as sinful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provided them whatever they have, and Allah ta'ala will continue to provide them in future as well.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Moving away from qurbani, the next question with regards to matric farewell. Will it be permissible for me to attend my matric farewell this year if I go without a female partner and I'll be wearing a sunnah garment?
No, obviously this is all completely wrong. No matter what garment you wear or not, these things are not allowed.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Saab. Next question says, what dua do you read when you're wishing for something?
You should try and read the dua Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribes, the famous dua that comes in the books of hadith, that la ilaha illallah al-halim al-kareem, subhanallah rabbil arsh al-azim, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, that particular dua, or Any dua one may, just from the sincerity of the heart, that is most important.
Jazakallah for that. Mufti Sahab, early on in the first hour, Mufti Sahab answered a question with regards to naming the children, and Mufti Sahab said husband and wife should choose a name mutually that they both agree on. But there's a WhatsApp message that came, says when a baby is born and a paternal grandmother insists to give the name to a child, such a name that the mother of the baby is not happy, does the mother have any right since she carried the baby for 9 months, Mufti Sahab?
Yeah, well, there it should be, you know, that the parents should have kept the name a mutual understanding. That would have been the case, you know. The parents should have kept the name rather than the paternal grandmother keeping the name that the parents or one of the parents is not happy with.
Jazakallah for that. Next question says, I'd like to find out if you can slaughter Qurbani with the intention of performing Aqiqah and for Eid.
Yes, one can include the intention of Aqiqah, but these are two separate animals, not in one animal. One could include the Aqiqah as well as the Qurbani. Like, say you have a big animal, so you buy two shares, one share for Qurbani, one share for Aqiqah, that is allowed.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahab, early on Mufti Sahab also answered a question on whom Qurbani is compulsory. So the person wants to know, a person has debts in Qurbani, will Qurbani still be wajib on them?
They have debts.
Ji.
And the debts are more than the nisab.
Ji, they don't specify that.
Yeah, you see, that's important. If the debts are more than the nisab, then Qurbani won't be compulsory in such a case.
Jazakallah Mufti Sahab, we'll take final two questions before we end the program. The questioner wants to know that I am a man and I never cry. How can I make my eyes weep for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, two eyes that will never be touched by the fire, in which it mentions the eye that weeps for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
One should try to cry. If you cannot cry, then try to cry. Make a crying person's face. This is mentioned in the hadith. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Illam tabku fatabakaw." If you can't cry, make an appearance of a crying person. And even that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. So, it's not that, you know what, you have no hope. A person who can't cry, he should try. And that, inshallah, Aziz, will also be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the appearance of a crying person. These things, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates even the appearance, even if it's not the reality.
Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. And the final question for this evening is, what is Mufti Sahab's view of a Hafiz marrying a Christian girl who is willing to accept Islam not for him, but for the belief in Islam alone?
If a girl is willing to accept Islam happily and he is willing to marry her, then there is no problem with that. As long as, of course, you know, I mean, at the same time, it has to be with the mashwara of the family and so on. It should not be that he's going against his parents and against their wishes to marry a girl who is a Christian and becoming Muslim now, and the parents are not so happy, and it will lead to a lot of tension and friction later in the family. So this is if all the family are also happy and they approve, and this girl is willing to become Muslim, and it doesn't matter whether he's Hafiz or he's not a Hafiz, but the intention is to marry a girl, maybe perhaps to give her some support and strength in her deen. So that would be considered in order.
Wonderful. Jazakallah for that, Mufti Sahab. We really appreciate your precious time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your efforts.
Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen.
Inshallah, we'll play the lecture of Mufti Sahab regarding Dhul Hijjah and Qurbani, reviving the true spirit of Dhul Hijjah and Qurbani for the next 20 minutes, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
That was Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, the Amir of Darul Ihsan Center in KZN. Mufti Sahab will be tomorrow traveling to Johannesburg, so we thought it appropriate to end the program early and then play one of the lectures of Mufti Sahab discussing this important topic of Dhul-Hijjah as well as Qurbani, reviving the spirit, true spirit of Dhul-Hijjah and Qurbani. So before that, we go for a short ad break, and inshallah immediately after the ad break, we'll be playing this lecture of Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, reviving the true spirit of Qurbani and Dhul-Hijjah. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Radio Islam International. Time right now is 26 minutes to 10 o'clock, and next up, inshallah, we'll be playing one of the lectures of Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum. As we said, that Mufti Sahab will be traveling to Johannesburg tomorrow, so we thought it appropriate to end the Q&A early, but instead, we'll be playing one of the lectures of Hazrat Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum. The topic is Revive the True Spirit of Dhul-Hijjah as well as Qurbani.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وقال تعالى إن عدة شهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم وقال الله تبارك وتعالى والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد له فيها من عشر ذي الحجة يعدل صيام كل يوم منها بصيام سنة وقيام كل ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر رواه أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه في مجمع الزوائد أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let us recite Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala Ali Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abada ala Habibika khayril khalqi kullihimi. Amma ba'd. Ulama-i Kiram, respected elders and dear brothers and our mothers and sisters and all who are listening on the audio streaming and the receivers. We have now entered a very important period in the Islamic calendar. We are right on the threshold of a very blessed and Mubarak month. In fact, this whole season is a very blessed season. These months collectively, they are known as Ashhurul Hajj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran, Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. The months of Hajj are known. So these are the known months of Hajj. Shawwal, which has passed, Dhul-Qa'dah, which is passing, and Dhul-Hijjah. Also, regarding these months, another ayat of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, that when Allah created the universe, then He made 12 months. And out of those 12 months, He made 4 months that are very auspicious, holy and sacred. And those 4 months are the months of Dhul-Qa'dah, which we are in, Dhul-Hijjah, which we are entering soon, and the month of Muharram, which follows after that, and the month of Rajab, which comes just before Shaban and Ramadan. So those are 4 auspicious months. When ulama say, what is the meaning of an auspicious month? It means that ibadat is more rewarded by Allah Ta'ala in that month than ordinary months. So it is the months of Hajj, then it is the auspicious months, and then out of those months we come to the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah is such a great and special month that in this month Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has first of all mention the beginning of this month, particularly in a surah of the Holy Quran on which Allah has taken an oath, Wal Fajri Walayalin Ashr. Allah takes an oath on two things here, Wal Fajr, the time of Fajr, that is the early morning, Walayalin Ashr, the 10 nights. What are these 10 nights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath upon? It is the 10 nights of Zulhijjah, according to all the ulama. Can you imagine when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears an oath on something, how great and important and significant it must be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath on it? Yeah, like many things in the Quran, Allah takes an oath, for example, Watini wa Zaytun, Waturi Sinin, and وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا and وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَخْشَى and وَالضُحَى, many other such things. All these are very significant things. And these 10 days, these 10 nights and 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath on it, which gives these days even greater significance compared to all the other significant times of the year. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made these 10 days such days that in these 10 days two great acts and ibadats of Islam are combined. That is the ibadat of Hajj, which can only be carried out in this period of time, and the ibadat of Qurbani also, which can only be carried out in this time. So it goes to show how great this season is, that two great acts of ibadat have gathered in these days. So therefore, my dear friends, these days, we need to really appreciate these days, value these days, and make the most of it. Many a times I've mentioned, and I will repeat it, that it is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a minor or mini Ramadan after the big Ramadan. Because it's just like Ramadan, in the sense that these 10 days, minus the day of Eid obviously, so it makes it 9 days, are days of fasting. And the nights are nights of ibadat. And I will explain what is the virtue of fasting and ibadat. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned regarding the fasting and ibadat of the night of these days, that مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يُتَعَبَّدُ وَلَهُ فِيهَا مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. No days in the year are so great in eyes of Allah for ibadat and worship like these 10 days. يَعْدِلُ سِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِنْهَا بِسِيَامِ سَنَى. Every day's fast is equal to the fast of 1 year. Let us think about it. How generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how great are these days, that the fast of 1 day is the equivalent of 1 year of fasting in reward. وَصِيَامُ وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. The standing in ibadat in every night is the equivalent of Laylatul Qadr in reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us another chance after Ramadan, that there is another opportunity to grab rewards. Here's these nights, every night is equal to Laylatul Qadr, and every day is equal to 1 year of fasting. Subhanallah. How merciful, how kind, how generous is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with rewards. So we find, my dear friends, that we have now come to that time which is like a mini Ramadan. It is mentioned about the great personality of Islam, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, that so much of importance he attached to these days that he would sit in i'tikaf in these 10 days. It's not sunnat or wajib or anything, but it's a nafil act. A person can sit for nafil i'tikaf any time of day or night in the masjid. But to gain and to earn the full maximum reward of this period, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali cut himself off from all the other activities, and he spent the time in i'tikaf in the masjid, so that the days also could be spent in ibadat, the night could also be spent in ibadat, and to maximize the gains of these days. We don't say that now everybody cannot match the piety of these great personalities, but at least we should try. And since our brothers are sitting here, I should rather mention this. Also, that inshallah, this coming Saturday night, from Asr time to Fajr of Sunday, you will have a small Islahi get together here in Masjid al-Taqwa, and arrangements have been made for the meals, and we come just with our bedding, inshallah, and we can still spend that at least one night in Nafil Atikaf. At least one, inshallah, there will be arrangements for iftar too, there will be arrangements for sehri as well, for those who want to keep the fast. And you will have a complete program so that we can try to gain as much as possible. If we can't gain everything, we shouldn't lose everything. There's a saying in Arabic, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. If you can't take it all, don't lose it all. Take at least something. It's better to gain something than gain nothing at all. So if we can't sit full 10 days etikaf, at least try and sit one night in etikaf, inshallah, all. Try and be ready and come and spend that at least 12 hours in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Asr till Ishraq of Asr of Saturday till Ishraq of Sunday, inshallah. So we see how great this time is. This time of the year is such a great time of the year. And how much of rewards and benefits. This is the time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned to Sahaba that there is no action that is more loved by Allah Ta'ala than ibadat in these 10 days. So they said, O Nabi of Allah, walal jihad fi sabilillah. What about jihad? He said, walal jihad fi sabilillah. Not even jihad. Except that person who goes and sacrifices his life and all his wealth and he doesn't come back. Walam yarji bi shay'in min dhalik. Then of course, that person's reward is very great. But the general acts of ibadat in these days are so great that nothing can equal the ibadat of these days. No act. So the fasting of these days, the tilawat of these days, the nawafil of these days, the sadaqah of these days. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith mentioned, فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِنَّ مِنَ التَّسْبِيحِ وَالتَّهْلِيلِ وَالتَّحْمِيلِ وَالتَّكْبِيرِ. That these days are the days of glorification of Allah Ta'ala, reading Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Especially these are the days of making zikr of the third kalima and also the fourth kalima, especially on the 9th of Zilhijjah, which is known as Yawm Arafah. Now, again, if we don't have the physical or the spiritual stamina to fast all 9 days, the ideal is that. If we can't, then let us at least fast one of the 9 days, and that is the last of those which is known as Yawmul Arafah, the last day just before the day of Eid, the 9th day. That day, the fasting is even greater. The normal reward is there, but even greater reward is that after siyamu yawmi arafah ahtasibu ala Allah ta'ala ay yukaffira sanata allati qablahu wa sanata allati ba'dahu kama qala alayhi salam. The fast of the day of Arafah is such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I hope the reward of that will be the forgiveness of 1 year's sins before and 1 year after. In other words, advance forgiveness also for the future year and sin forgiveness for the past year. 1 day's fast and 2 years' sins forgiven. 1 year's, 1 day's fast and 1 year's reward written. So my dear friends, this is a very important time in the Islamic calendar. And there are many, many other virtues. I do not want to make the program too long. These are some of those things that we should keep in front of us. Look, keep in mind the seasons of the year. We shouldn't be so negligent that we don't even know. We like that, we'll know spring started and summer started and autumn started and winter started. And we know with Christmas season and we know Easter season and we know it's cricket season and it is football season and it's rugby season and tennis season and all the other seasons we're quite aware of. But when it comes to our Islamic seasons, then we shouldn't be negligent and heedless and forgetful about these things. Keep these seasons in front of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us many beautiful opportunities in the year. starting from Muharram, which is the next month after this, Zulhijjah. There's a nice, beautiful season comes in Muharram. The day of Ashura comes there. Then we go down to Rabiul Awwal. Then we go down to the month of Rajab. Then we go to Shaban, then Ramadan. Then we come to Zulqadah, Zulhijjah. So throughout the year, there's something that is happening to keep our spiritual batteries charged. So these days are very, very important. We should try to maximize the rewards in these days. And we should bear in mind the very important ibadat. First of all, the hajis now, at this time, they will now be preparing for the great days of Hajj that are looming. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant them all Hajj mabrur maqbool. Make it easy for them throughout these 5 days of Hajj. Those who have been for Hajj, Allah accept their Hajj and take them again. And those who have not yet been for Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all Hajj mabrur. Right now our hearts must be beating in unison with the hearts of the Hujjaj. The great people of Islam, even though there were times they couldn't make it for Hajj because of certain reasons, but their hearts were so attached. One great alim, he shouldn't use itar on the days of Hajj, because he used to say the Hajis are not using itar, so at least I can resemble them in this way that I will not use itar in these days. Now this is not a masla that we say now, you know, these days, but it's something for us to ponder, that how their hearts were linked with the hearts of the Hajis and connected there, that as if Arafat was in front of them and Mina and Muzdalifa was in front of them. So these are the days of Hajj. The 5 days of Hajj are coming, and that main day of Hajj, Al-Hajj wal-Arafah, the day of Arafah, that is the main day of Hajj. If you got that day, your Hajj is done, even if you are sleeping there or you are unconscious there. But your Hajj will be done because you entered Arafah. So these are those days, the days of Arafah, and then comes the day of Eid al-Adha, Qurbani. And then the great act of Qurbani and sacrifice. For those who are not there for Hajj, they can then participate in this great act of Qurbani and sacrifice of the animals. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there's no act that is more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Eid al-Adha than the flowing of blood by way of sacrifice of the animals. So we should start preparing if we haven't yet prepared. Get ourselves geared up and ready mentally, psychologically, spiritually, physically, in every way for the days of Qurbani. By now we should have selected our animals, or at least booked our animals, and we should have made our preparation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to do local Qurbani first. Wajib Qurbani must be done locally. Then if you want to do Nafil Qurbani overseas, do your overseas Nafil Qurbani. This is another major issue that our community is facing, that people find they're looking for convenience in every aspect of life. In deen also we want convenience. Just give money overseas, it's cheaper and it's easier, and there's nothing you have to do. You don't have to do anything, just write out a check or press one button, EFT, into somebody's account, and you say, I'm done, I'm over. Where's the spirit? Where is that لَا يَنَالُ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْ Where's that sunnata abikum Ibrahim? Where that living experience of sacrificing that animal, thinking that this is in lieu of my beloved children, how I would have fared if this test was put upon me like it was put upon Khalilullah and Zabihullah. All these things, we have to replay the scenes of the day of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam on the day of Eid al-Adha. To get that spirit. It's a serious day, it's an important day. It is a day of showing our total and unflinching obedience to Allah Ta'ala's commands, that no matter what, we will comply, even if it doesn't make logical sense, rational sense to us. But we are not the slaves of rational and logic. We are the slaves of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So we're going to do this act of sacrifice. And we're going to participate. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that before the first drop falls on the floor, your sins are forgiven by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Now if you sent it overseas, where are you going to see the drop of blood? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, Sayyida Fatima, Ya Fatima, Qumi ila uz'iyatik, fashhadiha. O Fatima, stand up. Watch your qurbani being done. For every drop, you get reward of drop of blood, you get reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to participate in this, to be very much part of this process, this is the spirit of Eid. What spirit is there of Eid that we send some money overseas and we're sitting at home in our lounge and we're just socializing and we're eating chicken biryani on Eid al-Adha? Imagine. It's not haram. I'm not giving, don't go and misquote me like I'm being misquoted these days all over. You know, Mufti Sahib says haram to eat chicken biryani on the day of Eid al-Adha. It's not that. But look at what is supposed to be. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah. Look at this beautiful sunnah. The first thing that he ate and partook of on the day of Eid al-Adha was the liver, the kaleji of the animal. This is the quickest to cook it. Let's try to bring these sunnahs alive. If we are not going to bring the sunnahs alive, who's going to come to make? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send the angels down from the skies? We are the ummah. We have to bring these sunnahs of beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam alive. So let us inshallah do a local qurbani. Then send overseas. And make sure you're giving it to the right bona fide people and not fly by night. That they tell you they did the qurbani, but you don't even know where it was done and how it was done. There's lots of grey areas. I'm not going to go into commentary, leave it out. There's a lot of grey areas. Sometimes you wonder that how can qurbani be done at such a low price? In some of the countries you can't buy a chicken for the price that people talk of doing a qurbani. Allah knows. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm not casting aspersions on anyone. But I'm saying that we also have to use our common sense about these things. But whatever it is, let's do at least our local and be there. Be part of the action. People go hiking and they go camping and they go picnicking and they go out in the open doing all kinds of things. They wear their gear, they got their boots, they got their overalls, they got their whatever equipment they need and gear and kind of dressing. And so let's have our qurbani gear. Come there and be part of the whole thing. Drag, carry the animal, take it to the slaughter hole, take the knife, cut it. Alhamdulillah, there are ladies, sisters also, that with a little bit of encouragement and assistance, and just some explanation of technique, they have actually done the zaba themselves. So all these things can be done, but we must have some kind of inclination towards these acts of ibadah. If we want to just sit and relax on our sofas, and we don't want to see an animal, we don't want to go near an animal, we don't want to even touch an animal, we don't want to have, and we say, you know what, I sent my money overseas, and now I'm free. Then where is the spirit of Eid? Then it can be rather just be another Sunday or another holiday of the year. Another thing we find, my dear friends, is an unfortunate thing is that many homes, they don't want to eat qurbani meat. Say, no, the meat is not right and, you know, it doesn't have a good smell. And why should we abstain from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gifted to us? And something for us to partake of that meat. So buy the right kind of animals. Buy good quality animals. Buy super lambs. Buy the best in the quality of animals. And if you do that, then inshallah you'll have good quality meat. So qurbani meat is something. Shaykhul Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, for the 3 days after Eid al-Adha, he would not eat anything but the meat of Qurbani. No other food was prepared in the house. Qurbani meat was cooked. You can cook it, you know, in different styles with curry, and you can cook it, or you can just have roast, or you can have it bright, and you can have it fried, and whichever way you want to cook it, no problem. But it's Qurbani meat. You won't eat anything else. And he would say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hospitality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is feeding us this Qurbani meat, so why should we prefer something else over and above this? Right. So, let us try, inshallah ta'ala, that we look to all these aspects.